Impress upon our hearts and minds thy Son, O Christ, by the word that he might impress upon others thy name yourself as they watch our minds. For thyself glory to thee, Lord, for thou art worthy. Not that in everything is said, now clarify our thoughts and our minds, O God. Everything may be set perfectly done for Jesus' sake. In his name we pray, and may we see it. The questions I received up till last night look like it gave me just about a perfect number of questions, and now they've doubled this morning. And I'm almost ready to gamble, double or nothing, even get to nothing. The preacher looks at them and says, no, they're very fine questions, and everyone I've run across so far is just really fine, but there's some questions I cannot answer, and I'll tell you which ones they are. Did Brother Branham speaking have ladies singing in church? No, he called them into singing.
Yeah.
Is it wrong for me to wear a culotte? That's a good question. I hate them. That's my personal opinion. I have no revelation on it. You may do what you want. Except for this one thing. They are a corruption from the Russian garments. Women in the 17th century or 18th, I'm not quite sure, wanted to ride horses. And so it's adapted from the male Russian garments. Anything adapted from the male garment, I'm not happy about. I myself believe it's a perversion. I would not have my wife wear one or my children except in gym classes and school where women are all together. Now, because I have no revelation on the subject, you may do what you want by prayer. Now, there's one way to get your own revelation outside of the Word of God if you can't find it there. And there's no problem of man. If you are really dedicated to know the truth and what you ought to do to please the Lord Jesus Christ, and I mean you really are dedicated, and even though you might love them, it doesn't mean one thing to you. You say, God, I'll obey your word. If you go to bed with that attitude in your mind tonight, Lord, I don't care, whatever you say goes, tomorrow morning you'll wake up knowing the answer. It's just that simple. In the meantime, I can't stand you. Is it wrong to wear a hair piece or wig? No. If you wear it for pride or something, that's different. Just to help yourself out, Brother Branham, to look nice for your husband, that's all right. What did Brother Branham teach regarding capital punishment? Does not the Old Testament teach a life for life? That's absolutely correct. But Brother Branham, going back to the beginning, said that God did not destroy Cain because Cain destroyed his brother. So therefore, he does not believe in capital punishment as an original precept of Almighty God. I do not recall him saying that he's against the people doing it in this country. Because he did say, if the couple of Americans, they do not make the penalty fit the crime. But the actual answer is, he did not believe in it because going back to the beginning. Is it wrong for little girls to wear slacks and in the winter for one? Is so up to what age? Brother Branham sort of hesitated on that question. And he said, well, I guess a little itty-bitty kid wouldn't matter. I agree it wouldn't matter. But just as quick as you can, you better get them out of those slacks. After all, what remember the old days? They used to wear the good old warm socks and things and pull them up way up, you know. Come on, let's face it. When they get big, they're going to take them off. They don't breathe God and go half naked anyway. So I don't know. You got to just do what the prophet said. You could go up to little bitty age, maybe for a couple of grades in school. But here's the tragic part of that. Once you get them used to, what are you going to do about it? Is it wrong to trim a little girl's hair? If so, up to what age? Again, Brother Brown said, well, I guess it really wouldn't hurt to cut a little bang. See, there again, not wanting to hurt people's feelings, but knowing this, if you caught that work, don't put a scissor on the hair. Don't use anything for work, no matter what it is, see? So that's the big thing about it. And the more you ask questions, you see, of Brother Branham, when he already lays the thing down in the Word, he'd like to help you, the sweet brother, and do what he could. But see, if you don't start the thing, you don't get the habit, you don't have to break it. So my own personal opinion is, and I'm sure if you need to talk to you personally, it would be the same thing. Look, the thing to do in life is to do the very best you can in accordance with that word at any and every single age, and then there's no regret. Bring your child up in the way it ought to go and not depart from it. If he does, you've got a good way of bringing him back. But it's pretty hard to start teaching a moral and a precept when you've already had something going wrong for you. See, so the little bitty age, sure, that would do all right. Maybe a little snip of the scissors, but I'm fussing right now about our granddaughter. What right have you got to cut her hair, period? That's in it. They'll be cutting it for these things. I'm not bitter. I just sound tough. My wife can't wear culottes, and my granddaughter, as far as I'm concerned, it's never got those bangs done. She's got nice long hair, otherwise looks lovely, but... See what I mean? What would you do? You know the logical answer. Don't fool with it. See? Brother Branham says on tape, the devil is a slicker wearing a black patent shoes. Does he mean it's wrong to wear them? No. He's just telling you that he's not out there at the club dressed like a gorilla and going to bang you on the head. He's sweet and seductive. He's charming. Man, Clippers is just the vernacular. Certainly just the vernacular. You know, you remember Brother Branham died at age 56. Well, let's go on back when Patton Clippers was a sign of the pitty-pitty, catty-tippy-toe stuff, you know, the smart, seductive guy. He said he was just vernacular. He didn't call anybody square like the present generation. I guess that's old-fashioned now, too. And cool-it man and all that kind of stuff. I guess that's old-fashioned, too. I don't know the modern slang. Well, he had to go back to his language, which is Patton Clippers. So, no, nothing wrong with the Patton Clippers. Now, regarding... that's a long one for the our testimony services according to the order of the New Testament church. Well, not really. It's usually a place where you can grind an axe. The only place that I think Brother Branham called for a testimony was to get up and give the people a word on what had immediately happened in your life relative to the wonderful power of Almighty God. That's the only time I ever heard him calling anybody to testify. And they give a word on what God had done for them, showing he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Current, up-to-date, what he's done the last little while. But it's not in order in the sense that you can stand in one of these services and do it. There's the only place you could do it would be in a special meeting called for it, because these meetings are teaching meetings. When you come together as a pastor, that's to teach you. And you sit down and listen while he applies the word. Even gifts. Our private ministry in another room, and then they support the pastor by the pastor bringing what they said and was authenticated by the congregation, and he reads it to the people to see if it comes to pass. Following? It's on the tape, you can get it. All right. If women should rise to read the word and testify, I don't know of any time any woman would rise to read the word. I know of no time. That'd be the first sneaky step to getting into preaching. There'd be no place for her to rise and read that word. Testify if you were called upon as to something current in your life. But to testify, no. Let her testify to the milkman. The church is not a place to testify. It's a place to learn. Remember, Brother Branham said, you cannot worship God unless you come according to the messenger. You worship only according to the messenger. I'm not talking fivefold now. A messenger he is, see. Now, in a small group of God-called leaders should more than one speak during the service. Well, I tell you believe this message. All right. Then if you haven't got a pastor or somebody, what you simply do, or someone not able. Now remember, if that person's going to be a speaker in your group, the least he can be is an elder. And elders must be ordained not by the church elected vote. And not by the church. He must be ordained by someone in authority, because that's what the Bible said. Paul said to Timothy Titus, he said, ordain elders in each place. It would have to be something that the person wants to do himself. He must be apt to teach. He must have all the qualifications, both in Titus and in Timothy. You can read them for yourself. And then someone will ordain him, and he can do it. Otherwise, the best thing you can do is to have someone who has a love of the Lord in his heart, that you know is a good, sincere person, and let him lead in prayer. Maybe lead in a song or so, or ask someone else to pray. And a woman could pray. Nothing wrong. A woman could sing. She might even fix the song for you. That'd be all right. Then push the button for the day. Right, Bonnie? Use a tape, because you people are in the message, so we're not going to go outside the message. We're going to stick with it. Now, Brother Branham wrote to folk in Connecticut. They were doing their best they could. They never had elders and deacons. They were playing tape. He said, continue as you are, praying until God brings you a pastor. So whatever you're doing, just follow hearing those tapes and keep your church in order in this respect. Brother Branham says, the evidence of the Holy Spirit bleeding the word. He also said, you must have an experience with the Lord to prove it. No, I didn't say experience with the Lord to prove it. He said you must have an experience. Don't add those words. He didn't put them in there. You see, proof is evidence. Now you're going from evidence to evidence. See, your question is wrong, although your heart's right. See, the evidence is the Holy Ghost. See, if you have the evidence, then you have the Holy Ghost. But you will have an experience when you have the Holy Spirit. But now remember this, what did Brother Branham say? He said, the Holy Spirit in this age is received without evidence. And he said, don't you get involved with those emotions jumping up and down and shouting and all those things, although that, in a way, is fine. What did he say? He said, you believe God. You're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have hands laid on you. You take a stand at that minute and press into it. Don't turn back. You keep going on. And it's like a goat. You'll come right into it. You following? Just like Abraham. The day you believed God, that's the day you took your stand. That's the day you crossed over Jordan. And don't turn back. Don't go back over Jordan. Don't build another altar. Just press in. Press in, because he said you grow into it. He used many expressions, and I'm using this to show you. There'll come a day when you realize. How? By the Holy Spirit's use of that word in your life, you say, that's it. I am one of those. See? You say, well, I didn't have a great spirit. You'll have a short spirit, you, they won't be able to hold you in. See? He also said, can a woman have the baby and not notice that she's under anesthetic, maybe? There is a teaching that elders and pastors are the same. That's entirely erroneous. Elders and pastors are not the same. Brother Branham categorically said, the elders and deacons are not part of the fivefold elected ministry. They're not. God does everything in seven. So therefore, he has to add to those five that he laid down, elders and deacons, just like he had to add Eve to betray Adam. There has to be someone to betray the church, because the fivefold ministry cannot do it. I'm not saying this to get you to have respect for the fivefold ministry. I'm saying this for you to respect the word.
Amen.
See? The elders are men who feel that they want to serve God, but they are not pastors, prophets, apostles, teachers, evangelists. So they serve God in the capacity of taking the actually a very work a pastor can do. But remember, when God told Brother Branham, do the work of an evangelist, that's what God said to Timothy. Paul said to Timothy also. But remember, Timothy was not an evangelist, he was a pastor. And he was ordained elder. The elder's positivity can take the work and do the work of a pastor. Many times the congregation is so large you need extra help, and so you can ordain an elder to do it. And if the congregation is so large, or he ministers some other place in the city near you, and he cannot attend to his job, then you can take the time and pay the elder, and that means six people can have the time. Five folk plus one, but never the deacon. Follow me? The deacon the reason he doesn't teach. Now this is on tape, so if you don't catch too much of them saying, play the tape over, providing you want to take. Please explain Isaiah 4 and 1. That's where seven men take a hold of skirts of one man. Brother Brown said that happens at the end time. And I believe it does. I believe that women just run back and forth to this man, to that man, and the women's let you know we're equal and we'll do our own thing, and you do your thing, and we'll come together and sleep together and just be man and wife, and then if I like this bird, I'll go to him. End time, rotten, filthy condition, but I think it's also a spiritual application where we find that the churches are all going to go into one great big melting pot with the Pope. Remember, that's just spiritual. The prophet told what I said first. Are the two witnesses of the Jews alive now, and the spirit of Elijah and Moses will come on them, or are they Elijah and Moses? Brother Branham answered that question 64, and he said, that's a good one. I wish I knew the answer. Well, let's put it this way. If they are not absolutely, positively Moses and Elijah, which he indicated, but did not say, thus saith the Lord, they would be, they will certainly be two men upon whom is that spirit, Elijah and Moses. My own opinion is that Brother Branham leaned toward the fact that they would be Elijah and Moses. I see nothing to stop it. You say, how come? Because God can do what he wants, and it takes care of that. Yes, sir. If you don't believe it, then how come John received the Holy Ghost while he's in his mother's womb? God pulled a double switch and played favors. Hallelujah, I'm glad he did. That's why we're like this. I got no fight with God. Whatever he does is fine. And I'm not just getting old and senile now, but I really believe the God of all this world is a just God. He'll do right. And that takes care of it. Now, can a person who's fully in this mess, he dies sickness in this day, church end? If so, will they rise when the dead in Christ rise? Absolutely. Don't anybody fool you on that stuff. Elijah died with the sickness where he was sick. Right, is that right? Absolutely, that's what the Bible said. Elijah died with that sickness. They put him in a pit, and his bones were all that was left. One day a man died, and then here comes the Philistines or somebody, or Midianites, and they got so scared they dropped the man in the pit, and when his dead body hit those bones, up he rose. He got to that grave so fast, I wonder what they felt when he's been running out of that pit. I wish I'd have been there. Well, no, I told you guys, I'd have scared if they were like this. I'm not going to talk bold, and I could be pretty cowardly. Don't you worry, you can die sick and you can go to heaven well. And so you will. No, don't worry about that. People, there's a little doctrine going on right now. If you die, it proves you weren't bribed. Oh, come on. Who are you trying to kid? Now don't fall for that nonsense. Where'd the prophet say it? Did he say it? Then don't answer the word. Here goes your plate. Who wants a bunch of plates? Don't you worry about dying sick. You won't be able to die sick. You'll be in the tribulation suffering. Huh? one. I'm not whipping you. I'm just trying to change your mind. Giving you real insight. If you follow this nonsense and add it to the Word of God, there goes you to tribulation. Then if you turn around and take away from what prophet said, there goes your name. See, we're dedicated to this message. If anything I want in my life is to know exactly what he said, and if I don't know, at least to say exactly what he said. And stand on it. Now, my mother's a widow, not needing any help financially. My wife resents me being with my mother. But always having shared things with her, I find it difficult to please them both. What should I do? You should spend some time with your mother, but the majority absolutely with your family. If your mother's taking more of your time, and even a greater percentage, then shame on you. Your place is with your family. You already said she doesn't need your help financially, and that lets you off the hook. If she needs your help financially, but do what you can, but your family comes first, because as Brother Branham said, you're worse than an infidel if you don't stick with that family. When you took that wife, you left your father and mother, not to abandon them, and not to say, well, come on, Mom, talk to you after the resurrection. No. Treat them right. Treat them sweet. When you can go home, but do it only in a proper percentage. And if a wife is carping at you because you do go home and you're a good son, shame on her. It's just a greedy little thing. One day the table will be turned on her if the Lord cares, because what you sow, you reap. So certainly go home and see your parents and be real sweet and do nice things for them and buy them little gifts and things. Show them you appreciate them. The worst thing in the world is for parents to be broken out of greedy, grabby kids. They can't even wait for the carcass to get cold. Follow me? So go home and see her in a proper proportion. The wife the same way. See your parents. Remember, you wives, the Bible does not say you need father and mother. You're the ones that want to stick to the family. So husband, be understanding of the wife. She'll want to go home more than you. Unless we've got some genes with somewhere. Okay. Now you take it the way it's given. It's given in love. And not mean just down to you. Is it necessary if a young person is growing up believing the message to have a certain experience to claim that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is just what we talked about? Yes, you will have. You will definitely have. But remember this. It's far easier for you as a child to receive this message. Why? Because you have the pure Word of God. And when you've got the pure Word of God, all you've got to do is be baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and have hands laid on you, and that's it. Where else is there to go? Your faith is perfect with the Word. You've never heard anything else. Your mind's not all bogged or down and spooked up, as Brother Branham would say. Certainly, that would be the day. Hands laid on you. If you felt nothing happened, then glory to God and Abraham. He said, I was a father of nations. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I am what he said, and it'll be manifested. Just keep on walking with Abraham, it'll manifest. God, why? Because that's the Word. Don't go by what you think you heard, what somebody said to bother you down. Ask him where the vindication is. 99% haven't even seen a blister here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they pray. And they try to be interpreted the Word of God. When you've got a thus saith the Lord vindicated prophet, stand up there and say, I challenge you.
Amen.
I ain't going to accept no challenge. I'm going to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. As fast as I can talk, I'll say, yes, sir. How many obtain your sermons on the Godhead? Well, you'd have to write me for them, but I don't have much way of getting them out. Every time we try to turn out tapes, the machines break down. I got close to $1,000 of tape recorder standing there right now, which somebody else has. I don't know. Before them, from somebody that's got them, I suppose. Anybody's got them. We'll try to help you if we can. Write me a letter. I'll see if I can help you. We are a small group of people without a pastor or any ordained elder. Although there are qualifying brothers in the house, how do we conduct your meetings so as not to violate church order? Well, if you have men that could qualify as elders, but they're not elders, you just go right ahead and let somebody open with prayer and maybe read the scripture or take the prayer request and then go ahead and play the tape. I'm not sure that I would advise too many people to attempt to preach under those conditions, but as your group goes, you might possibly, if this person feels he's really ready to take authority in the church, that by the Word of God, to preach it truthfully and the best of his ability, you've got confidence in him because of his life, witnessing to him. You may have somebody, some pastor, maybe come in and talk with you and ordain this person, because I know of no other way to do it, by laying on a hand. And then he would go ahead and work in your midst. Now, what did you mean when you said that we have become crystallized in our thinking? What I mean crystallized is that the people who believe that Brother Branham has to come back and have a literal tent, and I won't argue with them, they're just as, they believe it more than ever. Those who believe that Brother Branham, the Lord Jesus Christ, believe it more than ever. Now, what I believe more than ever. I try to stay as fluid as I can, but I can't deny we're getting crystallized. In other words, that way we were going in 1965 and 67, we crystallized in 68 roughly, 69, we're crystallizing more, and right down the line, we've seen more and more what we believe to be that word. Now, of course, this means only one thing. It means that somebody's got to be right. But who's to prove he's right? That's why you walk in love and help each other all you can. The word adamant means we're more and more firm in the way we believe. Please explain body, soul, and spirit before being born again. Well, that's exactly right. You've got a body, you've got a spirit, and you've got a soul. Now, when you're born again, and not just anointed, when you're born again, the Spirit of God goes down into your soul, changing your life. Now, if you're not truly born again, the Spirit of God simply anoints your spirit, and you can talk in tongues and manifest gifts, and look like a real genuine Christian, but you won't line up with the Word. Now, I can't say more than that, because this would take a long time. Please explain Brother Walker's dream. I can't do it. I don't know what it's all about. But if you hear the sermon, know it or not, you will find that Brother Branham said, Brother Walker's dream and Brother Roberson's vision was the same thing. Now you can take it from there. I can't help you. Does an elder have to be married? Yes, sir. If he is married, does his family have to be following the Lord? Or does he just have to be acting as he does? Well, look, if you can't make your grown children, those that are growing, that have grown up, you can't make them obey God. But if that man himself is a real man of God, and he has brought those children upright, and he has departed from his home now, then that's all right. But remember, those kids got his feet under his table. He has got to be the authority in that house. Now, he cannot make them be born again. See? He cannot make them genuine Christians. But he can stand for the truth and what is propriety as a Christian. And if he doesn't do that, then he shouldn't be an elder. See, he couldn't be. But if you follow what I said now, he can't make his kid born again. Nobody could. It's impossible. See? What would you do if Brother Branham and Becky hadn't turned right around? Before you said, okay, Pop, you said I could go boogie woogie music, I'll go. What if he'd have gone down? Would that have thrown Brother Branham out of the ministry? No, because he did everything humanly possible. Of course, God intervened and turned it right around. So that man himself that brought those children upright, see? And while they're in his home, because remember, this is the law as far as I'm concerned, I lay down in my own home. When those children are eating my food and got their feet under my table, they're going to have to go my way of eating. If I say no television, that's it. If I said no certain picture shows, that's it. You have an authority. And this is what you would have to do. I said, you cannot make anybody do anything in the spiritual line. That takes God. When God comes in, there's that desire to do those things. Why does Paul, the prophet messenger, say that he is an elder? And also Peter, because the word elder in the Greek simply means the oldest one in Christ. And you cannot get anybody older in Christ than the apostles. They're all elders according to the term of their service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what an elder in the church is. He's a man who is older in Christ. You don't take the newly young converted boy because he's got a lot of zeal. And he seems to have a lot of savvy because he hasn't been tested and tried. He must be the older in Christ. And when he's the older in Christ, it means that he will not be easily fooled by the devil. Because this is the first thing a man must be able to show. He cannot be easily tricked by the devil. Now, it doesn't mean that you cannot be tricked. He's a pretty shrewd fellow. But it means that you're the type that isn't normally, naturally tricked. You've got scriptural, spiritual understanding. Now, how did Jesus turn back to the Logos and yet remain as a man to intercede for us? Well, let's remember that Jesus was not God because God cannot be born. Remember, Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God, God creating himself in the form of human flesh. Brother Branham said the sperm and the egg were both created by Almighty God and brought forth the second Adam, the last, the second man, the last Adam. Adam was the first Adam in the flesh, Jesus was the last Adam, there's no more. God made two creations, but remember the one he made through the sperm and the egg, bringing it forth to the woman into an astral birth. That was not God. That was a man. Christ Jesus, why? Because he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. God came down the River Jordan and absolutely filled him with himself. So the fullness of the Godhead was in Jesus' body. Now then, when Jesus was upon the cross, he said, into thy hands, O God, I commend my spirit. That could have been speaking of just the spirit of man. Commending it. He also cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God left the sacrifice. God cannot die. God had to identify with the body. And death came by the fact that a body was there and could die. Remember the book of Acts says that he purchased it with his own blood. The blood of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb. Now then, remember, the Spirit of God left him. It had to. Absolutely leave him. God left him hanging upon Calvary. Then he gave up the ghost himself. See, God couldn't kill him. Why? Because he was righteous, even hanging upon the cross. So of his own will, he willed to give it all up. And so his spirit went back to God. And there he hanged now as a corpse. God raised up that corpse. Walked upon earth for 40 days, seen the man 40 days. This is where that period of time comes in, 30 to 45 days, Brother Brown speaks of. Because he was upon earth in the resurrection form. We don't know that all those saints were there. We believe they were, because when he ascended up on high to take captivity captive, he was leading them with him. So we believe therefore the saints to be on earth, 30 to 40 some days, see? That's where Brother Brown said, laying off him, I guess was in Green Lake, Iowa somewhere. Now, where is he? If you will hear the church age tape, not the church age book, you will find Brother Branham said that he was behind the throne on the mediatorial intercessory throne or seat as the mediator bringing them in, as the intercessor keeping them in. And in Revelation 5, he came from the midst of the throne and took the book out of the hand of him sitting upon the throne. Now remember, the body is not the Holy Ghost. The body was created by God, formed by God. So what is it then? Brother Branham said, he changed his mask. God went back to being the pillar of fire. See? Now our identification is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And only can we get to God through him, because he's a human being. And he, a man, Christ Jesus, a man, liveth to make intercession. Now it's this man that has not yet descended to earth. But God can come and go as a pillar of fire. And if he wanted to come 20 times, there is no problem at all. See? And this is where I understand Brother Brown's teaching on the Godhead. He never said one thing about there not being, in my understanding, he never said one word about there not being a literal, absolute physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he did say the physical return is what we're looking for now. I forget what tape it's on, because I have my notes at home, and I've got the actual quote written down, several quotes written down as to where he talks about this physical return. But remember, when you talk about God, you must take the statement Brother Branham said, Jesus was not God, but he was God. Certainly he wasn't God when he was born. God can't be born, God can't die. God hasn't got a physical body. No, he hasn't. He's God, he's spirit. See? But he changed his mask. Pillar of fire, cloud, rock, windy rock, water coming out of the rock. Those, of course, symbolize him. Remember, that cloud was real, and that pillar of fire was real, and that sea upon his body was real. Remember, he appeared to Abraham? So, when you talk about Jesus turning back, you're speaking in terms of God having identified himself with Jesus, your Lord and your God. Like they said, my prophet said, my Lord and my God. And he didn't say, don't say that. He was the Lord and God. He was. He is. See? But he changed that man. He's down right here, came down as a pillar of fire. But he's yet to come back in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And remember, he will appear to the Jews the same way. See? And they scream out, this is our God, and he'll save us. You know what I believe they see? The pillar of fire. Because Brother Brown said in the tape, he said, Jesus appears to the Jews in a symbol. And I don't know any other symbol it could be. Now, I'm not saying I'm right here. But my literal understanding, my understanding of this, because I can't quote Brother Brown, I don't know. When they scream, this is our God, and he'll save us. They're so happy with the pillar of fire. Everybody repulsed and destroyed as 144,000. Those virgins, eunuchs, attendants, the bride, are saved. Then I believe he literally steps out of the pillar of fire and stands there as a man. And they say, what's going on? Then he just turns his palms and they see the nail prints. And he said, oh my, did he save us to kill us? And they began getting very frightened, like when Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. They made known who he was. And he said, no, he said, They said, where'd you get those hoops? And that they kept me, I hope he doesn't say what I think he's going to say. And he said, oh, don't worry, I got them in the house of my friend. And that's when they go to the shock of mourning. And remember, there are two atonements. One is blood and one is mourning. They turn down the blood, so they go through the mourning. And what does he do? He comforts those that mourn. This is all right. But oh, the screaming in the morning, they go, you see. So this is, I understand, this would take a long, long time and very careful notes to try to trace it one point at a time. But I do not have any thought in my mind at this time that there is no such thing as an intercessor called Jesus the man Christ Jesus. But God simply changing his man. His brother Brown said, the take your church, take, take. He is there behind the throne on the seat of intercession, the seat of his mediatorial ministry. Now, explain the terrible 11th hour work. Well, as far as I know, Brother Branham mentioned that in the 11th hour, that we're going on to the end, it goes on to the end of time, and God is dealing with and doing the same thing for the people all through the ages. And it doesn't matter that if you come in at the very tail end or not, you'll just be a part of that bride or part of every place that God has placed you. What are Samson, Dalai, and Goliath's shadow? I'm not going to take some shadows. I don't know. What is David and Goliath's shadow? Brother Branham mentioned it in there that as David reached it, that foreshadowing Christ, overcoming Satan, also could be a foreshadowing of the bride dealing with the end time, great superstructure of the ecumenical move, staying clear of it, and then coming back, taking victory over it. In fact, I'm not good in facing shadows. You've got to forgive me. They explained Daniel 2:44, who were these kings in the days of these kings, the son of God, was up his kingdom on earth. Those kings are Babylon and Media Persia and Greece and Roman Empire, and it's in the actual historical time of those four great empires, of which it will be in the Roman Empire, which was brought back to and revived by the Papal Empire, you know, the sword that had almost destroyed it, he received the wound. If Roman Catholicism brings it back, it's asking in the days of those four kings, which would be the fourth empire, that God himself will redeem himself, a bride will be standing on this earth here, and she will literally, if she will be the actual ruler and reigner of this earth, so God will take her up for a while to bring her back. It's in the days of that time. You say, why does it say that it'll be in the days of that time his kingdom's here? Well, because, brother, sister, the bride will be standing on this earth. That's why I can be standing right here, sir, and that can be taken up. So that's the days of those kings. Now, if you don't have time to it, well, let's see, that's just all right here. Now, please explain Luke 20:27. All right, that's about if a man has a wife and he dying. She married his brother and still no children, and then he died, and then still no children, and seven brothers have her and no children. You know what that could be? That could be a man could have three wives at one time at that great rate. If all of those brothers were married, they'd have to take her right in and treat her as a wife. Now, do the same genes exist in both brothers? If a child would have to know, absolutely the same genes in there because they got them right from their father. You know, that Levi was in the loins of his great-great-grandfather Abraham. That's where he was. So every single one of those boys have the same genes. But God, by selection, directs the correct sperm to the correct egg. So therefore, the brother could take the widow, and the child would not be the one who committed the act of procreation. It would absolutely be the son of his dead brother. That's why God killed Onan for withdrawing and spilling the seed on the ground, because Onan knew the son was not his to be his brother. And that sounds very crazy to everybody but us, because we believe the word and love the Lord, and we understand it, because the genes come on down. Now remember, every child actually has to be in two people, two written receptacles, Adam and the serpent. There's no other place they were. Notice. It's like I plant a lemon seed, or a pear seed, or an apple seed. Every single one, every single lemon, every single orange, every single apple, every single pear is already in the original seed, or where is it? Well, that's all there is to it. It's in the gene. There's got to be natural election, and there's got to be spiritual election. That's why God had to keep from destroying Israel. Of course, they could have all been in Moses. See? What happened? The mixed multitude were carriers. Brother Bannon said so. They were carriers that brought forth the elect of Almighty God. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:32. Well, I can't be too long in that. You either caught what I said and believe it, or you didn't catch it, or you don't believe it. One of the two. Which is all right. The spirits of the prophets are such prophets. Brother Branham has discussed that many times. He said, you don't have to jump up and down and disrupt the meeting. He said, your spirit's something to you. God made you speak in tongues. God made you get up. No, sir, God didn't. You got up because you wanted to get up. Maybe the Spirit of God was so near to you and you didn't let your mind go to get a revelation, so you just thought, well, I've got to do something. So jump up and jump up and jump up. No. Not good. Your spirit substitute. Doesn't say the Spirit of God is substitute. It says the Spirit of the prophet. Your own spirit substitute you. Isn't that what Brother Brown said? You got a free moral agency? Right in your spirit is the one place you're free to make a choice. Is that right? And you can make a choice to follow church order or not. Right? Okay, regarding tithe, it's used different than offerings and so on. Well, the tithe is different from the offering because the tithe is categorically set down in the Word of God and reinforced by thus saith the Lord of the prophet, it goes to the ministry. The pastors are responsible for collecting the tithe. But remember, the tithe goes to the ministry, not the minister. So therefore, if there be abundance of people in one church who are paying tithe, then this pastor himself is obligated to collect those tithes with the authority in the church, which is used to the deacon. And they're set aside, and what he does not need, in the sense of his personal usage. And remember, some preachers could be very grabby and want $50 million a year for their use, because they're great users. So come on, let's go down the line. Brother Brown took $100 for himself. I don't say the preacher does that, because he had to have a spending account. He never would have got by $100, let's see. He had to have some kind of a spending account, which he did have. So let's go to the Bible, right? That's the place to get our type. All right, there were 12 tribes, took care of one tribe, right? The Levites and the Levites, that's right? And 12 tribes around them, three on each side, lion, ox, eagle, and so on. Man. Now, they were guarding, of course, Israel. Looking inside toward the Ark of the Covenant, backing up the Word. So therefore, 12 tribes took care of one tribe, and every single person was a tithe payer, right? So therefore, 12 tithes took care of one tribe. 12 tithes take care of one family. You say, why should the preacher get 20% more than the average member of the congregation? Ask the preacher, he'll tell you. Who has more people come to his house than anybody else? Who takes care of the welfare of the saints more than he? Who's the first man calling somebody sick and he finds that the kids got cold so they don't have food and fuel in the house? The preacher. He's got to have at least 20% above the average congregation. No doubt about it. Now, how does he get more? He's got to get more by giving. Giving the child to give again. But the preacher was not meant to live in luxury. Now what do you do with the balance of it? You disseminate it for the ministry. That's what it's for. See? You say, then what if the preacher needs more? Well, look, we're all in the same boat. You can give, I can give, everybody can give. Now I'm not saying, you're not saying this is thus saith the Lord, but I'm quoting you, Brother Branham said about the tithe for the ministry. You can stick with that. I'm giving you a tithe to help you to understand that there are Christian times the minister needs more than the average person needs. But you're going to have to follow this thing out yourself. But I say what the prophet said. The tithe is for the ministry. And this is what's wrong in a lot of places. A lot of people don't love because that they're not sent out. They don't have the help, and they should have the help. But on the other hand, neither do I endorse a bunch of people standing around ready to jump on a preacher or his church that does have a lot of money on hand and thinking day and night that they feel they're preachers and somebody ought to break down and give them some. Get out and prove you're a preacher. Nobody stood behind you as a tithe or a 10 cent. When I went down the road not knowing where I was going, had no money to get there, but I got there. And I've done it more than once. That's a gift proof you got something. Because even an elder who's doing, down here, he's doing full-time service of food, he can't have a plug nickel. But if that man is an elder, and he's doing a full-time job in that church, the Bible distinctly says he's worthy of double honor, and goes on to say, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, so that lets you know that you put him on salary. What is it? Sell his tithe. Because it goes to ministry. The tithe is the minister. Now, there's many questions in here say, can I use it on a building? You cannot use it on a building. Brother Brown said, it cannot go to widows. It cannot go to orphans. He said, if I have 25 cents of God tithe in my pocket and I was starving, I cannot buy a loaf of bread. Now, that's putting it strong. What if you did borrow that 25 cents if he was hungry and you pay back 20% more? God said, add a nickel to it. Give him 30 cents now. He said, well, that's God taking usury. Well, he's a smart businessman. Just pat him on the back and say, I like that kind of a man. Glory to God. Don't fuss. Just say, praise God, do it. Now, this is quite a long subject, but I don't want to take all the facts. But look, it's in many, many cases. And if you got another book, you can get some of the quotes there too. But you'll find that there is no great secret concerning. Brother Branham is absolutely orthodox and fundamental on seeking the tithe. He could have been a super duper Seventh-day Adventist or a Pentecostal on this subject. Not the other subject, but on this subject. He could have been one of their best men. It's just simply orthodox, the teaching. There's no great secret about it. And if you want an offering, go to an orphan, take it up. Remember, Paul the Apostle said, and I think it's in more than one place, he told them, do not forget those that have a need. And remember what is an orphan, see? And this is what I do myself, and I'd advise you to do it. And so I give a tithe. All right, give a tithe. He said, I don't make much money. Look at, I was only getting $45 a week and less when I still paid 20%. I tried to serve God by serving Brother Branham and eating. I got an offering. You know my offering was in that week? $33, about 33 cents. What was I in a motel? $6 a night for 6 nights. $36. Add the food. Add the cost of literally 2,000 miles to drive there and to get home again. Add it all up. I went in the hole how much? Figure it out. Doesn't mean a thing. Still be with his mother. Because God said so. You see, I'm going behind. There'll come a day when you'll come on top. You don't fear God. He didn't lie to you. I had people so concerned that I had a fleet of trucks and $1 million because I said, I don't worry, I got a name. Oh, Brother Bell's got a lot of money. He's got a name. No, I gave my 20% this time with Ben Morgan and me. Come on, I got a name. You ever see God have a crop failure? You know, they hear a little joke about the farmer. Faith, hope, and charity describes the farmer. In spring, he plants in faith. All summer, he hopes. In winter, he lives on charity. But that's not God. Believe me, that's not God. When you plant the way God said, you can just sit there dreaming. That drought can come, depression can hit you, and you still get to sit there dreaming. Because God can have a vision. Shall not the God who promised do it? See? So I would advise you, and I'm not a widow or an orphan, so I'm not asking for any money. Wouldn't make one bit of difference to me financially if anything was done or not. No, sir, I got it made. I done good, and I'm dead. Little carnal, maybe, but I can't help it. I don't think it's carnal, but that's carnal, ain't it real good myself. That's carnal, just keep on buzzing the bell. Okay. All right, praise the Lord. Now, we believe this bride message. I've heard some people say, I've heard some people who say they believe the message. It's being said we must return to great signs and wonders and miracles, like the prophet was here. We must fast and pray. All right, you want to fast? You really want to fast? Then don't do it more than 3 days. Brother Branham categorically stated, you must not fast except in very short periods, of which 3 days would be the maximum. He told Franklin Hall, it's right in the tape. He told me personally, so therefore I'll take the duty, that he went to Franklin Hall and said, do not publish those books on fasting or you will destroy people. And it did. They got in that prayer closet, fasting and praying, and they literally forced the hand of God, and look where we are today. Keep away from us, unless it's short fast. Pray, pray all the time. Make your life be an attitude of prayer. What's prayer for? Gimme, gimme, gimme? No, sir. As Brother Branham said it, I've said it many times and say it again. Prayer is not a gimme prayer, a gimme wait. Prayer is to get you and me in a place where we're amenable to the will of Almighty God, thy will be done. And remember, the will of God is not only to suffer, but to glorify Him. So when you get the whole will, you with meekness will see God shine forth in your life because you prayed to get to that place. Don't try to force Him. Now what about signs and wonders and miracles? Brother Brown said, hold it right there. The big thing you think you're looking for is going to go to the Jews under Elijah and Moses. Would the bride have thus said the Lord? Surely will. She will be thus said the Lord. And she'll have a ministry that comes like breathing and sleeping. It's going to be natural. And I don't believe it. Thus said the Lord, let fire fall. Now look, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. And I got no hope for it to happen. I'm not saying it couldn't. Maybe someone will do it. You say, will the creative word be in the bride? I believe it will. And you say, well, we all create? I haven't the least or foggiest idea. What am I doing? I'm willing to wait for what He wants me to do. And I'll know when He wants me to do it, and I'll do it. In the meantime, brother, sister, looking for the crop that may come in won't feed me. I'm going to feed on the old corn until the new corn comes. See? I'm going to feed on this word. I'm going to do what He's been telling me to do.
I'm going to keep my faith. And when God changes a thing, I want to be in that thing. But I won't be in that thing looking way down the road and this one that turns down here. And remember what the prophet said, and I stand with him. They're all the time looking back. They're all the time looking forward, but they don't know what's going on. Get wise today, brother, sister. Find out from what he taught what's going on now and stick with it. See? You say, well, brother, there we want to see God working in this. When does he stop working? Well, I believe the sick ought to be healed more. No matter if you confess their sins and you get down and pray. Don't go standing off and with your mouth open and this and that and the other thing. Get to your word. That's what the prophet brought you back to, right? If I wanted to see something done, I'd just do what the prophet said. You got a real problem, call the church. Get down your knees. Plow through. You'll get an answer. Sure. Especially if the person's on his toes for God. If, of course, the person living wickedly, then you got to get that person to make this thing right. I'd like to know what time of the day it was in 24 hours because the Lord's supper be served at night. Foot washing? I don't know. I don't know if he did tonight or not. I can't remember. But usually they put them together to have it at night. What time of night? Midnight? I don't know. Just night time. See? I suppose to make it night, you should wait till the sun goes down. That would be logical. Dark outside. At night time. All right. What is the position of a woman whose husband asks her to do things in their personal life that are unclean? Don't do it. Don't do it. Should I have going to please him? No, sir. No, sir. Don't you dare do it. Don't have a thing to do with it. No, sir. Not one thing. Your husband, your obedience, your husband only is in the Lord. And there are three things he cannot compel you to do. He cannot compel you to stop praying, to stop going to church, and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ by the Word. If he tries it, and tries to force you, you have to leave him. Did I say that right? I hope so. You say, well, he's content to live with me. Not if he tries to make you a rank sinner. You've got to take your sin. That's right. You cannot live for your husband if he would tell you to rob a bank or do some rotten, filthy thing. If he asks you to do something which is sexually unclean, you have no right to comply to it. In fact, Brother Branham, in the tenderest words he could, so no one would be offended, screamed out against it. And we ourselves wondered what it was all about. So personally ask the source closest to him what he really meant. If you can't guess who I'm talking about, you just don't know English. And the answer came back what I'm giving you now. That he knew by vision what some men were doing in their personal lives of their wives, and he hated it. So the answer is no. Absolutely no. Right? Right? You gotta take a thing. It's submit as unto the Lord. This word is so full of rotten, filthy uncleanness and to my. There's no place you can turn anymore what you see. Now don't try to be too puritanical about this subject, because if you do, you get in trouble. I know people like a personal witness, so I'll have to let my hair down and sound a little vulgar. I talked to Brother Branham one day, and you know I carp a lot because I guess I'm that kind of a fish. Back to trout, head trout, and then the carp I carp. I was very disgusted one day, and I thought that not seeing the Brother Branham. I said, this thing is sure a stinking rotten mess, and I wish I'd rather. And I was talking along the line, I forget my exact words, I'll try to recall them for you to make it sensible. I left out a fact, I think, of the relationships of overdoing sex or something. I can't recall the exact words, and he whirled on me and he said, you're a married man, it's all right for you. Oh, I said, Brother Branham, I'm not talking about overindulgence in my life. What I'm talking about is the fact that every billboard got it, every TV screen, every theater market, every book, everything, sex, 14,000 miles high. Until you can't get away, you can't look anywhere, you can't think anywhere about it. Oh, he said, I see what you mean. He said, I'm against that too. He said, that other thing, though, you watch. In other words, some of you might get an idea that you're some sweet little clean goddess because you deny your husband. You're wrong. And some men say, well, I'm so perky now, I don't touch her either. You're wrong. You'll get fat if you're not careful. Now listen, I was 50 years old and he told me I'm 57 now. Now if he told that to a 50-year-old man, what's he going to say to a 25 and a 26 and 21 and a 19 that's married? You get married just to turn around and think you're some kind of a person different than anybody else? See? Now, certainly the dead is undefiled, but you'd be questioned, you've got to watch how you use that, too. You follow me now?
Yeah.
Look, we're in the middle of the road, people, not down in some ditch or some in quagmire or some mess or someplace else. If we're anything at all, and God's done something for us, you ought to have at least some type of honor, integrity, and actually good common sense. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear nor of insanity, but a sound mind. See, so let's not push these things. We have people right today who are messed up because of wrong teaching along this line. Now, I hope you understand how I do this. I do it to help you. Not to try to glorify any subject because we're sick of the whole stinking mess. I don't want to be too mad when we're taken out of it. Now, both are seeking to be and obey the message, but he is not evil overcome. Who said he's not evil overcome these things? You've got to be kidding. You think because I have a temper, I've got to go and kill somebody? Huh? You think because I like money, I've got to rob a bank? I don't care how much he says he likes this and likes that. Certainly he's made to that end, but to be filthy, absolutely ridiculous. Huh? You say, well, he can't help himself? He better have something cast out of him. I don't mean to be tough and hard up here, but come on, let's face this thing. You just can't do certain things. That's all there is to it. You just can't. Even if you say, well, the guy said, brother needs help. That's fine, he needs help. Then let's have help. Bring the thing right up with a pastor or somebody, and let's get help on it. But you're not going to help anybody the same. We both believe in ethics, and he wants that dirty, rotten thing here. So sort of an old family sorcerer. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, brother. Said, well, let's face this thing. Let's get down to brass tacks. See? Like this old horse line wants to grab me. The devil wants to grab me as other thing here, too. Now, come on, Corinne, swat that thing. I'll have to swallow myself. I'm not too good using both. Using my eyes, watching these notes here. Now, could you explain Acts 13, 2 to 3? What's Acts 13, 2 to 3? Oh, that's about Paul and Barnabas. Now it says here, as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate you, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I've called him. And when they fasted and prayed, they had hands and family. That's right. They fasted and prayed. How long? Day and night for 6 years or 3 months or 40 days? No, they just fasted and prayed, period. Just because they fasted and prayed doesn't mean, oh, I think it was 40 days. It doesn't say 40 days. Well, I think it was 6 weeks. It wasn't 6 weeks. Well, I think it was maybe 18 days. It wasn't 18 days. Just fasting and praying. See, now, they could have done it many days by intermittent fasting and praying. But you see what they were doing? They did fast and they did pray, and it's fine to fast and it's fine to pray. And it's fine to pray and fast at the same time. See? Now, what's the answer here? Do you think for 1 minute that these people had gifts and said, Paul, you and Barnabas are called? Why, they knew they were called long ago. The gifts of the Holy Spirit let the church know through the gift ministers in the church. And so the whole church came together after that meeting where the gifts were manifested. And they said, don't you know it came out in our meeting today amongst us that the Holy Spirit said that Paul and Barnabas are to be separated through prayer and fasting and we're to send them away. And you know what? The Holy Spirit and the people said, yes, I believe that's right. They brought it before the whole church and they said, Paul and Barnabas, you're here. Are you called? They said, you bet we are. Thanks for the confirmation, which though we didn't really mean. It says everybody's heart, everybody. Now, and it shows the glory of God, lay hands on us, we'll go. Certainly, what else could it be? See? You've got to have your own call. This is what messed everything up the last 2 years. Now, you know very well it's a false spirit that told men to go preaching because the same spirit told women to go preaching. How would you like to be told to go preaching by somebody told women to go preaching? Oh, heaven spare me. And I do these sermons. It's a little bit going too far. Okay, I hope I had caught your thought there on that. If I didn't catch your thought, you try to see me later. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2. So I speak with tongues of men and angels, have not love, and become a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, have not prophet to understand all mysteries, perhaps prophet to understand, and so on. Now listen, what's he saying here? Look, as far as I recall, Brother Branham said that Calvin was not a real Christian. Yet nobody knew the doctrine of election, I don't think, any better than Calvin. His works are still absolute standard in 45 volumes. I have some myself. I don't read them. But if I wanted to read them, I'm sure I would find that Mr. Calvin had it down absolutely beautifully. See? Now, I wouldn't want to unchristianize him, but I have to take statements of a higher authority. And there is such a thing as you and me. If we were non-elect, we could absolutely know what somebody taught us and get a letter perfect and understand it and put it together in a wonderful way with an anointing upon us and miss it entirely. What Paul is saying here, you cannot have a revelation from God and be in the bride unless it is absolutely real to you by the Spirit
see? And when it's spiritually real to you, it's been revealed by the Holy Ghost, not simply a man teaching, but it's a real revelation here, see, where the word falls into line, and you're building your faith upon it, then that's all right. But remember, I had an experience just like this. I was in New York State, and I was going to a certain church, and there a boy came in there whose life always was below par. Well, don't you know that boy is smart? And I tell you, he's reading smart. And when I would preach there and preach some of the things that I would consider a little difficult to apprehend, he'd grab them just like that. Man, he could take that message back the way I taught it and just bring everything that took me a long time to get the revelation on based on what the prophet said. He could get it just like that. Where is he today? Don't ask the question. He never did show one bit of love to his wife. He never treated her as any kind. She was a sweet girl, did her best to live with him, loved him, did everything she could to help him. But every now and then he ran off and left her. Today he's messed up, gone off with the women and all. But you talk about knowing that word, sure he knew that word. He won. Because it came mentally, he could grasp it. He was good, but I'll tell you one thing. Now you can really check a lot of these things up. You just let that person attempt to really set it forth the way you know it should be. And though he'll go down that line, there's something missing. The spirit in that man is not the same as in the man that originally taught it. Just go to the man that taught him. See? Just go to the person that taught him. And you'll see, as the both talk, one doesn't have what the other has. Now look, I can outline my sermon notes if I wanted to, word by word, and make them pretty perfect so that I could get a scholar to understand it. And he could say, Brother Bale, I follow you. And yet you hear him preach and hear me preach. You're going to find one great big difference, because to me it's pure revelation. To the other fellow, he simply got taught it. Now, so therefore, if it isn't pure revelation, there's something missing. You see, I'm trying to get a little illustration here to help you. Now, if that dear brother, that poor kid, had tried to begin to deal with people based on what I had taught him, it'd be something missing. But I could stand up there, not trying to say I've got something, he's got nothing, just trying to illustrate things. Take those same things, and you would know that there is something between me and that word spoken, where that word is a part of me, and I'm part of that word. When it comes to the other person, there's a word there, and he's there, and there's a big division between the two. You follow me? See, that's how you could be. That's what I guess Brother Sir was trying to get across. There's a lot of people who say they're in the message, but the message is not in him. And by that, you get to say a lot of things that are literally correct. They knew the prophets and find the scripture and all those things. But when it comes right down to it, as he said, they're talking a lot of things, but not that word. See? Just sit down and just go back and forth and watch. You see? Now, that sure sounded good. But what is missing? See? Talk of the coming in angels? Sure. Have anointing gifts? Sure. See? And you, you don't have it here. In United States, we got men that say they believe Brother Branham and say they keep his message. Oh, my. Well, I'm glad they do. And the best they can, but when they put themselves forward as messengers and angels and God and that and put Brother Branham aside and call a dead man, I just don't know that they really believe. All right, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a separate experience we have to have. From what I understand from the spoken word, is reading the whole word that seals you. I read the message with all my heart, but I'm confused now because one brother, Cal, told of his experience seeking the Holy Ghost. I want all there is to have. All right, now you're going to listen to man's experience? Well, so did I. All right? You weren't here when I told you. Brother Branham and I were talking for 4.5 hours on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Phoenix, Arizona. 1963, the fall, or was it just the turn of 64? Just the turn of 64, yeah. 64, happy 64. Now, I knew that I was not understanding what he talked about when he referred to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because he said it so many ways, I knew I was confused. And I knew that if I was confused, a whole lot more were confused. And I'm not being proud saying that. But if you're around as much as I was and it was confused, there's a whole lot of you weren't around and you could be quite more confused than I was. So, I said, Brother Branham, do you mean this? He said, no, you haven't got it. Go through it again. Well, I said, then you mean this? You know, just from my mental understanding of what I used to believe with the baptism and the rebirth. And he said, no, you haven't got it yet. Finally, after 4.5 hours, I said, are you trying to tell me that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the rebirth is the same thing? He said, now you got a dog, put on his hat, and I said, hold it right there, Brother Branham.
What are you going to do with your experiences?
He said, what experiences?
Well, I said, you know what your experiences were.
And I said, you yourself publicly declared that when that voice spoke in other tongues out of that cross of light, that you had an experience that changed your life. And then you went on to say that you were seeking God in the woodshed one day, and like rain fell to your body, it's entering into your very spirit, and I call and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, what are you going to do with that? And he whirled on me and said, Brother Dale, we don't go by experience.
We go by the word of God. So, Brother Fisher ever wrote that? Now, you can go by your brother if you want his experience.
I'm not saying he's a bad boy.
He's a sweet boy, no doubt, and had a good experience. Well, you can't go by his experience, and Brother Brown couldn't go by his.
And he's a prophet of God. And he screamed out at me, and I tell you, you think he laughed through the wet noodle.
I'm going to tell you right now, he really laughed at that wet noodle.
Because he was the authority putting me in my place. Like, Paul, what came the word of God in? Came the word of God into it? Who are you talking to? You're talking to prophets if you watch your P's and Q's.
You know, I thought Brother Brown was real sweet one time. I was getting a little ahead of him one time. You know, you catch the spirit, get a little ahead, so I wrote him a note. But he wrote back on that, hold your peace. The time is not yet. Now, that isn't that sweet. I looked up the word hold your peace, and he shut your mouth and get out of my ministry. I'm not kidding. I'm letting you know a few things. So if I sometimes speak like I'm an authority, I'm talking from the viewpoint of absolute knowledge of the situation. You don't go by experience. You go by what the prophet taught. And I already told you this morning what it is. And you'll find it on many tapes. And if you want to find it, read it the best. You did with those tapes from 1963 on. Now remember, the seven seals were not fully open just in 1 week. Because there's no such thing as a seven seal. It's not in your Bible. It's not in the symbol. It's a half hour, right? It's Revelation. Read Matthew 24. There's no seven seal there. Is there? Newton. He told us. Revelation. When that seventh seal broke, seven thunders, right? And Brother Brown said, those seven thunders, that's what those seven seals were all about. Now remember, he had to go back to Arizona, right? And God told him to go there what for? The seven seals, right? What did he come back with? Marriage and divorce. Right? Now you know that's the truth. I can find it. If I had my notes, I'd show you. When I told that to Billy Paul, he said, sure, you're right. He said, Dad, he told me you had to go back for marriage and divorce. Why? For the blotting out of your sins. You're forgiven. Then you go miss the communion bride, which is marriage and divorce explained. He told you it's the same thing. Marriage and divorce isn't simply you folks that got married and ditched your wives and married somebody else. Forget it. What's in it for me? You don't think I sat there just to hear him talk to you? That's the last. He would have said, now you folks have been married and divorced and remarried. I got a sermon for you, Brother Baird. You haven't been that way. And Brother Perry Green and Brother Gunson, you boys. So stay out, please. Come on. Give it to me. Boy, he didn't know what he's talking about. One man says, I got it. You went on and had got some more wives. Oh, brother, you talk about carnality. Marriage and divorce wasn't for some of you folks got married. That's not the unforgivable sin. Blasphemy is. Huh? Certainly. Where's my subject on me? I'm getting lost in it. Anyway, that's your point. Marriage and divorce. See, it's part of the seven seals. So you don't go by experience. You go by the Word of God. And you open up to us the Word of God. 63 on, he crested the error. Somebody go, Brother Brown told me way back there in that Hebrew series that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the rebirth were two different experiences. Look, if William Branham himself had not made errors, then you wouldn't need the sixth, the seventh seal opening to correct them. Right? There'd been nothing to correct. So he said, I used to believe the law was the evidence till God showed me a vision. It's not. Would you want to be corrected? Well, thank you. That's good. I'm glad to see we're human. Some people get so carried away with the utter nonsense of their own primary interpretation that they say, Father Brown did make a mistake. He said he did make a mistake. He used to call the white horse rider the Jesus Christ. In one place he called him Antichrist, so he was so mixed up he didn't know which way he's going. And God showed him. That's nothing wrong. That's the Bible told us this is how it would be. And he's the prophet to correct.
And brother, sister, when you're corrected, you've got to be corrected first yourself. Christ must first suffer. Understand? Right? How could any prophet then, if he himself were not first corrected, give up the correction? So you don't go by spirit. You go by the word of God.
Just keep right with it, sister. Brother, I wrote that letter. Just keep right with it.
Just like I said, Brother Brown said, when you get baptized in that water, and you come out of that water, hands are laid on you, you believe, you keep right on going, just like Abraham. You walk right into it.
Line upon line, precept upon precept.
Oh, this is hard on the mind. Oh, this is hard on us. We go all to pieces because we can't be paid in conference cups. Oh, my. I can't have my hair. Now, I'm not being sarcastic about the one who wrote this. I'm being sarcastic about us. Not against anybody writing anything, because I know how you feel, and don't think for 1 minute I don't. I tell you, that's why God keeps screaming out, not to help you any more than helping me. Oh, it does me so much good to keep screaming out, stay with that work, stay with that work. Don't go by experience. It'll tell you. Go by the word, then let the experience come out of the word. Don't go by experience and hope the word will come out of it. Go by the word. And watch what will happen. You stand with that. What did Brother Branham say about that poor blind guy that came crawling to him one day just to cry, Brother Branham, I don't have it. He said, my, I don't have it. He said, my wife was a good woman, and I thought she was good, and I thought I wasn't doing too bad. So he just smoked and drink and sort of crowd around. And, you know, he said, we were average people like people do, and I had a pretty good business. And one day she goes out and gets saved. And her life changed, and she won't go to dances anymore, this and that. Now she thinks she went to Pentecost and came back talking in tongues, and she said she's full of the Holy Ghost, and everything's wonderful. And he said, one day I got a crack, and he said, I read that crack, and I said, you know, he said, son, I wasn't smoking and drinking anymore. I wasn't doing things like I used to do anymore. And he said, I went to church. And I heard Billy Graham preaching. He said, come to the altar. And he said, you get it. And I went up there, and he said, I just said, I didn't get it. He said, went to Pentecost, and they said, she's gotten speaking something. He said, I didn't. He said, I didn't get it. And he went through the whole camp. Brother Brown said, hold it, brother. He said, what did you say about the time you said you read that tract?
Well, he said, I quit smoking and drinking. He said, quit swearing. He said, you got the Lord, you got to be in love with the Lord.
Well, he said, what did you have to make you do that? He breaks me down again. He said, there is something to think about. He said, yeah, I did it. He said, you must have got a tenor. Why would you do that? The thing is this. If you keep on and on, you positively must go where God said because you're on that word. If you don't try to get an experience and bring the word out of it, see, that's what people are doing. But what did Brother Brown do? He went right back to the source. And they said, now God, we're corrected all from what you say, even every experience, because that doesn't mean a thing unless it's one out of your word, right? Brother, sister, listen. If you know Brother Brown told you a little story about them, that the 4F, the farmers, you know, the boys from and all, they got some scientists that made a grain of wheat. And that grain of wheat that they made, earth sap, was nicer and everything than the grain of wheat that was came by natural means. So they said, how are we going to tell the difference? He said, put them in the ground. There'll be life in one and not in the other. So stick with the word. Stick with the word. Amen. Nothing but the word. Just stay with it. That'll do it. Now, that's the best I can say. Is it wrong for girls to have their hair parted in the middle and hangings in their faces just like hippies? Well, I'll tell you, what would make a girl want to have her hair hang in her face? You mean like down here? That wouldn't be bad. But you bring it around like that kind of peekaboo sexy thing that came out of Hollywood years ago. And
Oh, boy.
Well, I just got to say this one thing. If you yourself believe you look like a hippie, and you want to look like a hippie.
Oh, mother. You got trouble. You got trouble.
I can't say it's wrong to part your hair in the middle, let it hang down. But if you're identifying yourself with a hippie, I sure wouldn't do it. But just to say to part in the middle, hang down, I can't say that's wrong. I've got no authority from the prophet of the word of God to say it's wrong. Look, if you've got a right spirit in you, you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't look like the world doing it, or something that's like so far out that's pitiful, it'll be coming without being, you know, pushing yourself out to look, attract attention, all that. See, to be becoming doesn't mean to attract attention. Now, everybody attracts attention, but if you've got dignity, this is the thing that counts. If you have decorum, that's what counts. But you've been showy and gaudy, you know, that's like a person flaunting his education. Oh, my, did that
that's not it.
See, be simple and let your dignity and your character make the place for you.
But for the way to do your hair, Brother Bannon didn't say how to do it, said the way.
You know, they remember Brother Bannon had that thing, he said their hair was hanging down to the hips and they all looked like young 18-year-old girls? Well, they might have had their hair parted and hanging down, that's fine. See, but don't make a doctrine. Some boys run around now preaching, say, they say, well now, you got a heavy woman can't do your hair. Brother Bannon said, you women, you talk about your hair making your head too hot. He said, what's cooler than doing your hair up on your head? Now there you are, you've got to do your hair up. Look, I don't believe he cared that about your hairdo, as long as it wasn't some great big fancy thing to make everybody... Simplicity, that's the answer, right? And decorum, dignity. What's wrong with the girl parting here now? Nothing wrong with it. I'll say one thing, Bob. Some look good doing it, some don't look so good. I would try to do my hair to where I would look sweet and nice. Let's face it, let's be honest. You're not going to win a beauty contest anyway, because you wouldn't have the nerve to enter one. So just try to look nice. If you're married, for your husband, and if you're not married, look nice for Jesus, and don't try to attract a man by your looks, or you're in trouble, sister. That's right. Brother Brown said, the poor boy runs off, and the poor girl runs off, he's some kind of a Greek god, and she's come to some kind of a sex symbol. He said, sex queen, forget it. Don't do it. You'll mess your life up. I'll tell you what, if you're young and you're considering marriage, which no doubt you are, just be as sincere as you can be. And you boys, don't go looking for every girl to run around with, because I tell you, one of those girls you're going to marry could be the wrong one. You be careful, and don't try to have a lot of girlfriends. I'm speaking from experience. I had a chance to go with any girls anybody else did. I wouldn't do it, because I knew that one day one of those girls could trick me for something else, and I'd marry the wrong one. I waited. There's nobody got the forbearance and love and tolerance my wife got, and anybody else would have had me. I'd have been the man. I'm sure glad for her. There's a French proverb that says, to have a happy marriage, one of them must have a great capacity to love, and the other must have a great capacity to be loved. I've got the capacity to be loved. And so we got a beautiful marriage. Now see, I'm telling you some truth, and you say I'm not being funny, although this, because of those comical things, has a good point to it. See, you be careful who you go with, because you'll be trapped just like that. Now remember, when you're trapped, if you are, the Bible says you've got to marry her, and you cannot divorce her. If she turns out to be a skunk and a witch, and runs with a dozen men down the road, the Bible says you're stuck. You keep your hands off her, you're married. Don't you go with too many girls. You girls don't go with too many boys. Because they might not respect you one little bit. And remember, Eve was seduced. He said, it's okay, honey, we're going to get married. A liar. He was married right there. But you're the one that bears the shame. Huh? Come on now, smarten up before it's too late. We got so many people right now, young kids, saying, oh, the rapture's coming, got to get married. What in the name of common sense has marriage got to do with the rapture? I know what it has. I can tell you right now, but it won't be quite that dull, vulgar. You know, you can tell, so you just read my vulgar mind, so to speak. Brother Branham says the world receives your baptism of fire after many. Certainly. It gets dissolved with a fervent heat. God takes it just like your body and mind go to the grave and nothing left but gases. So God turns this work earth back to gases and recreates it. Just like he takes those gaseous elements of our body and recreates them in a new body. Alright, how is the world destroyed then? So a bride will set up, will walk upon the ash to witness. Certainly. It'll be by atomic bomb and if necessary the fire of God, because he said we'll walk on their ashes. How he makes the ashes, I'm not quite sure, but there'll be ashes there to walk on. That's right, atomic power and so on. That's what Brother Branham said. That'll be there. All right. Now, please explain Mark 9:43-44 in the light of no eternal hell. Our death is the death of Gehenna. The worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Where do you find your worms in the lake of fire? That's the city dump. Gehenna's the city dump. How do you find any place to find the end of eternal life with one hand off? It's symbolic language. It's the city dump. Listen, it's better to absolutely cripple yourself. A woman may have a talent to be an actress. She may have everything in her life to make her the most wonderful actress in this world. Cut it off. Take that talent and kill it.
unless you can use it for God to destroy it. Enter into eternal life with one of your hands missing. Don't be thrown upon the sin dump where your whole life goes down the drain and you stand in the white stone judgment. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking here about eternal hell, fire, all that kind of thing, a bunch of nonsensical preachers preach. Why, if you've already got eternal life, who needs Jesus? All you need is cleansing. Now, how do you get cleansed? Answer me. Haven't done that. So then there's no such thing as two kinds of eternal life, right? There's only one, and that's Christ. And you got to be born again, right? You get it. Huh? So then how can a sinner go to hell self-eternal? The sin dump Gehenna is. That word in the Greek is soul life. Soul life, see? What happens to a man called to God and won't preach? Sin dump. Wasted his life. Come on, the white stone judgment. What a terrible thing, see? Now, Acts 2:17-18. The women are not to have anything to say about the word? All right, that's right. Let's look at it. Acts 2. I really explained that the other night, if you didn't catch it, maybe the person wasn't here, or you couldn't associate it. All right. It shall come to pass, in the last days that shall form a church in all place, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, of course, that could happen in the closing meeting. And upon my hand, my women servants, and upon my men servants, I'll pour my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, of course, that word doesn't simply mean to preach, although the English word, many times Brother Brandon said, you do call it preaching. But if you take this back to the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter, you'll be able to see it. Now, he said, I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, every truly born-again member in the body of Christ will have the true word of God in his life, both men and women. But doesn't make her a preacher. But when she ever has to witness to anybody, and the word is brought up, have no fear, she'll be like Priscilla, who was with Aquila, when they took Paulus aside, and they both talked to him and witnessed, whatever word she used with her husband was the correct, revealed word of God. But she wasn't preaching, she just witnessed. And now, you know, you cannot witness without the word of God. It's impossible. You just can't do it. What are you witnessing? Some myth, some creed, some coat, some phone table? You've got no witness outside the world. See, so women can testify. And they will be testifying. They will be witnessing. You can tell the milkman. You can tell the breadman. You can tell the grocer. You can tell the gardener. You can tell anybody you want. Long as you do it in love. And don't argue. Don't try to keep talking. You say, but the word of God, my brother, says so-and-so. And the vindicated prophet would be approving. You know, it doesn't make you a preacher. The Spirit of God's got to be on you if you're a child of God. You've got to have a testimony to Jesus Christ if you're a child of God. What else have you got it to? And where do you get it? Revealed word. We're not trying to bog women down so they can't say anything. My. Just be careful how you say it. Where do you say it? Is it wrong to wear a hairpiece or which? Brother Bannon said no. It's wrong to do it in the right spirit. Should a person claim to bring the message and have a television at home? Well, Brother Bannon said this into it and answered the question very, very carefully. If a television is wrong, then so is the radio, so is the newspaper, so is everything else. Now, here's the point. It's the use of that television set. But how do people use it? Well, as I said about cutting little girls' hair and wearing those slacks, why bother having something that's going to bring in bondage? Kick it out the door. Kick it out the door and get rid of it. You say, you got one in your home only when my son is there. He has his little portable TV set, and he can have what he wants. When he goes, his set goes with him. If his set doesn't go, it goes locked up in the back alley where we have a little cat crawl in our attic. It goes locked up there, and there it sits. Now, certainly there's nothing wrong with seeing certain things on television. What's wrong with seeing the coronation of the queen? That gives you something to think about. I'm not against that. Neither Brother Graham. That's why he said, then you can radio go too, your newspapers and all. What it is the fact is that it's a usage. But why bother having the thing when you can get the same thing someplace else, or who needs it anyway? You know, so why comfort yourself? Just get rid of the thing and leave it all your life and die. I'm afraid, see now, I wouldn't condemn a person if he had a television set and used it the right way, but I personally don't want one. Because I don't need to see those things I enjoy seeing anyway. It's just like every now and then I see a good movie advertised. I say, Cromwell. Cromwell was a Puritan dictator of England. They tell me that it's absolutely authentic. And I say, I'd like to go and see that film. I'll never see it, forget it. I almost have to drag to the Ten Commandments again. Who needs it? travelogue tour. Once in a while, a real good travelogue comes. And I saw African safari. If you can see it, there's nothing wrong with it. It's the most fabulous picture you ever saw. Alaska safari? Sure. But you might be like me. Who needs it? Forget it. If you ain't, I'm not going to condemn you. I can't condemn you any more than I was condemned. You went into a place that in a restaurant where they serve beer on one side and food on the other. I don't worry about that. If I'm hungry, I don't mind going ahead and eating your dinner, but I'm not going to take their beer. They can keep their beer and pour it on the ground. Boil their hot dogs and whatever they want to do, just don't bring it around me because I get this thing to sell. Not being virtuous, just hate it. Never did have anything to do with it. But, he says, this thing's thrown on. I don't even think Brother Man just telling me. He said, don't take the shotgun and ask for either. So that's dangerous. He didn't know that when he said that. And of course, God will protect him and do it. So that's dangerous. Don't do it. Give it to the city garbage man. Hey, we got a brother here all the way for you, won't you, that son? Get him and ask him. Hey, we got an answer for everything. Help them out, son, if they got any trouble. Is a scriptural use time for such words? No, we discovered. If a woman to be found in the church, only concerning the discussion of the doctrine. She has nothing to say about what is right in the church. She only adheres to what is right. Now, how much should a woman witness a neighbor? As much as her neighbor can stand, you don't get obnoxious. Sure, she could do it. Be in the word. What else can you tell? Hey, did you hear about the fellow told a joke last night? No, you can't tell him that. Hey, did you hear that Churchill died? Well, no, you tell him that. Hey, did you hear we got a great problem in our bank? Well, you could, but don't tell. Go to the word. What else can you do? He said, you haven't got a thing to say that, oh, that person brings the word. What a beautiful testimony. Yeah. My, I sure like that. Like Brother Dan said, the woman said, you both done Jesus so much. He said, I hope that's my only trouble, sister. He said, I hope that's my only trouble. If God and Jesus are the same person, why is Christ your advocate? Well, remember this, it is the man that's the advocate. Remember, a high priest had to be a man so he knows what he's doing when he preaches. God had to become a man. So he indwells a man. See? And living in that man, found out everything about that man, lived the life through the man, then died. God didn't die, the body died. See? Now that body's up there, and we got a man, Jesus. And he said, Father, I died for him. See? Now, didn't you explain John 2 and 1 and relate it to John 3 and 9? I thought I did that the other night. Maybe I sort of over-explained it so you got carried away. I hope I didn't do that, but that's my problem sometimes. All right, you have an advocate one place. Why? Because you need one. Over here in 3 and 9, you don't need one. Why? Because you can't do anything in this particular facet which would require one. And now look. Let me try to put it this way. I figure something out here in my mind in your hurry. Well, let's face it, Brother Fisher. I don't need my own private airplane because I can't fly. And I just don't need an airplane, period, a private airplane. Now, I may need somebody else's airplane, but really, I don't need my private airplane, so I'll never have one. Now, look, that's the way this verse says. I can't sin. So if I can't sin, I don't need an advocate. What would I need an advocate for if I can't sin? So there's something here that I can't do. I can't disbelieve God's word. If I'm elected. But as God's elect, I can be pretty obsessed sometimes. The Apostle Paul was God's elect. And one day, he and Barnabas said, chuck, we must sit down and talk this out. So Paul said, my sweet dear brother, over a cup of tea. And Barnabas said, yes, and a cup of thrown in for good measure. They did not. Paul said, look here. We're not going to take John. Because he let me down. And Barnabas said, now, my dear sweet brother, who hasn't let you down except God? I think we ought to take him. He said, no. I understand some people letting me down, but when this fellow let me down and went home to mother, that's the end. And Barnabas said, now, cut, Paul. You think for one that the Lord will let you down? Be kind. He said, look, Barnabas, I'll take no more of that fact. You're younger than me, and I'm just pretending this is it. And the Bible said that got whacked so hard. But they said, okay, goodbye. They both need an advocate real bad at that moment. Because would you say that was right? Well, that they're not going to go to hell for it.
It's not just forgetful sin. What about a preacher committing adultery? Oh, kill him! That's it!
Oh, come on, you don't know your words.
Restore. Take away his office.
Ooh, so you took that out of the book, preacher. Looks like God dropped your knees, you see?
Oh, I don't mean that.
You need to be careful what you say. Because by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. So therefore use the word of God to be justified. If a preacher committed adultery, which God forbid, are you going to kick him out and say, no more ministry? Who are you?
Well, come on. I just want to put this on the table this morning. Because I've dealt already with two cases of adultery in the church, and I have been surprised how people who call themselves Christians react.
Restoring. It just got a great big club. In fact, three great big clubs, if not four, you can find.
And when they go swish and pop,
good lady. Yeah. And when some preacher up there got the gall to say to listen, maybe one of you brethren was caught in this same thing.
Wait till you're over there, preacher.
Huh? He needs an advocate. But he better come clean. I said he better come clean. And he shouldn't even erase his muck before the audience, because he didn't erase his judgment to commit on the audience, and there's another man's wife. They both get the address. Brother Van didn't say bring the thing before the church and have a great big muck raising session. He said if you've done this miserable thing, you go to the couples involved. Get it cleaned up. But it's always somebody in the group that gets a hold of something, you know.
Oh, this is so juicy and dope.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I tell you this thing. Called in a couple of cases. One case turned out real good. Got the people quiet down. Didn't even want to get the preacher's salary. I said, listen, when a guy works for a businessman for a year, he's got maybe 3 weeks coming with salary. Give him time for these 3 weeks and help him up. Said, it'll help your soul. It'll help his too. And if anything ever happens in the future where somebody needs somebody, they'll know where to go. They'll come to you. They did it. Brother, sister, listen. I'm not the kindest person in the world. I wish I was. But kindness, which is part of love, will never fail. And to treat a thing can be will never fail. So you see, we got in this subject by the advocate. There are many times you need an advocate, brother sister. Many times. All the time. But when it comes to us as elect of God, this is one place where you are the righteousness of God Himself through Jesus Christ the Word. And you don't need anything because you already got everything. All right, now, is there scripture evidence for the statement Brother Branham made concerning the faith walking? Yes, it is. I said, you've seen them for 40 days. And remember, when he led in captivity, that's when he went up to take over all authority and power. So therefore, there is scriptural evidence. Yes, there is a period of time. But remember, David, remember, though they saw the dead body, Christ Himself was not recognized through His physical form, because the book of Luke, I think it is no mark, said that He was changed, His actual form was changed, that's physical. They could not recognize Him through His physical form, it was by what He did. Now, I'm not saying we're going to not recognize our brethren in Christ to rise, except through what they do, but it could be that way, I don't know. I don't suppose it is, as Brother Branham said, if you see somebody coming up the walk, don't be afraid, he said, just open it and say, hi, Grandpa. I'm glad you did. You came a little quicker than I thought. No, you might not say, glory to God, I'm glad now I'm on my way to you. Is there a hell now, or is it going to be later? Well, there could be the lake of fire right now. I suppose there is. I really don't know. But there is a place, kind of like Brother Branham said, he said, where they're falling, a place that's kind of limbo, you might say, kind of darkness. I don't know too much. Explain the Godhead. I did the best I could in a few minutes. Explain what's in the seal and what is in the seal and when you see it. I don't understand that. Exactly. The seal of the Holy Spirit is what you really want, to be sealed in, and after you receive the Holy Ghost, then you could have some experience with it. I really don't know if you would or not, but that is some emotion. But the main thing is, Brother Brown said it doesn't come by emotion, any particular type of physical evidence. I've explained it many times, so you just have to just believe, brother, with sister, with all your heart, and remember, faith has absolutely will bring you right into that kingdom. Now, what have I got here? Did I answer these?
No.
Now, I don't know if I mixed up here or not. I think there were some more questions. But time's about gone anyway. I answered that one. I answered this one.
Oh, here's some here. Did I put them there? Let me see. I'm in sure down hurry. But I kept throwing these down here. We can let them fall on the floor, so okay. These are all gone.
And these are gone here.
Oh, here, we've got a few over here. All right. Is it wrong for girls to wear shorts underneath your dress? Or if they didn't, did I explain that? No, said no, ma'am. It's all right. You don't even need to wear a dress. If you're just a bunch of girls in the assembly room together, your shorts are fine. Of course, if there's a man leading the class, then that might pose another question. Your Brother Branham's own advice for his own family was that if they're all girls together doing physical ed, that is all right. Our Kulak, well, we talked about that. I said, get you. I can't say that, said the Lord. Is it wrong? I got that one too. About, is it right wrong to wear a little hairpiece if your own hair is long? If it helps you put it up decently, what's the difference? I mean, look at here. Let's face it. I put glue on my hair. When I wash my hair, I wear a pompadour stuff and I glue it down. Now, believe me, if I didn't grease this thing down, I'd have to shave it all off. Now, would you like me coming to hold my hair all like this and look at a mess? Well, I wouldn't like your wife to look at me either. I don't want my wife to look one either. Brother Brand said, if it's not for arrogance and pride to look smarty and this and that, he said, your heart's right, that it's a little hairpiece to help you keep it in shape. Of course, my own attitude is this. I know today is Brother Brand. It's all the men I know really the same to really love the Lord. Your wife's not trying to win a beauty contest. You don't mind her trying to look nice and all, and that's fine. But I hope we're at the age now where looks don't mean it. There's reality somewhere without this skin deep stuff. Man, oh man, I'm sick. I never was pretty, and I don't think ever tried to look pretty. Except I do like nice clothes, and they don't do too much for me either. I'm about ready to go back and get a pair of overalls. You know, you get so old anyway, by the time you can afford a decent suit, you still see something look good anyway. I mean, you're stuck anyway, so why fool with it? Why try to beat a dead horse? Yeah. You know, he's scary. Who are the ones who have to go through the great tribulation? Everybody but the man. So, that's the foolish virgins, the Jews, and all the rest. Are they Christians who love the Lord and denominate? Yes, there are those who love the Lord, and they haven't got the whole word, and some of them weren't ordained to it. They'll come up in the right strong judgment, and they'll come in. That's all right. But there are people right today, denominations, that when they come against the end time mark of the beast, I believe they'll escape. I believe they'll die for it. But remember, brother, sister, don't fool with it. And don't have sympathy with it. If the prophet said, come out of her, a vindicated prophet, and that's the end time message, get out of it. And don't fool with it. And have any sweet little idea. Now, I know you don't, but I'm trying to get this across. Don't have this. Oh, I think that's all right to be a sweet little Baptist or a sweet little Presbyterian, because if it's lovely folks, listen, you say, come out of it. Come out of it, or you're gone. See? Remember, the last plague is what? Spiritual death. Now, last plague before what? Rapture. Well, if this is spiritual death out here and life in the bride, then scream, get into Christ. See? No, I'm not going to say, well, I tell you, I've got such a sweet love in my heart and I'm so gentle. I wouldn't dare say anything to condemn them. If I don't say a thing to condemn somebody, I don't say one thing to save anybody either. Huh? Is that right? If I don't say a word that will condemn somebody, then I haven't said a word to save somebody. You know, I said the other day that Brother Brown did not come to bring confusion with the word. He did in the bride. But out there, brother, sister, caused all the confusion in the world.
Amen.
Not in the bride. No, sir. No. Don't anybody try to tell me that. We're a mixed multitude. But that bride is one with that word, and there's no confusion. She's resting in the face of Christ himself by the very word of God. No, people say, well, brother, Bill, aren't you confused because you don't understand certain things? Certainly I'm not confused. There's a question here in the 12th chapter of Revelation somebody asked me. It's in here somewhere. I think you must have put that paper aside without meaning to. And they want me to talk about it. I'm not going to do it because I can't. You know as much as I do about what the prophet said. I can't tell you. I have a burden my loved ones. Great burden. They believe with all their hearts that they are born again, but cannot see this message. Is there any hope for them seeing the Holy Spirit? And will not be after that. Sure, there's hope. They're going to find out too late that they believe Ma was right. Or you know what? They're already so far from their rebirth, they're a part of that Antichrist system, acting as though they had virtues and were one of Christ.
You say, Brother Dale, how will I know which one? You don't, Brother Fisher. I know you've got a burden, but you're still not like Rebecca. When those twins got fighting, she said, God, what is it? He said, I'm going to tell you, daughter. There's two men or people there. I love one, and I hate the other. What did he feel like? You know how Isaac felt so bad? He did his dead level best to prophesy his son Esau into the kingdom. Couldn't do it. Paul said, I could be a Christian because I feel such a way that God would take just me. I am one person. Oh, God, do something great for us. God said, no. Your brother Hilton said, I could give up and just say, no, you believe God. Brother Brown said, well, apply the token and put your faith in. Now, how can you apply the Holy Ghost to him? The token today, he said, what it was always was, is the Holy Ghost revealed by the Word. And the day of Luther and the Holy Spirit came with justification, right? And Methodism, sanctification. A few years ago, restored gifts. Now what? The full measure of the Word. Hey, I lost some of these questions somewhere because there's a question asked.
No, man, I messed you up, folks. I'm sorry.
Well, I always was a messy preacher. I'm sorry. Now let's discuss this one. Discuss that one. Now, what did this man do if he's got an expressor's wife, and she calls him everything, and calls the message everything, but he brings this message, what will he do? He says, no, sir, not as long as she's content to live with that man, he's got to live with her. She's just like a loving husband, and to go to your loving wife and do everything you can by example and prayer to win her to Christ, because if she turns down that word, then don't bother her. Brother Branham said, two times, that's sufficient. That means your wife. Although at a word in season now and then, you might just bring some little thing in, like an illustration or something. But live with her, you can't divorce her, no sir. I heard some of the most lame excuses in my life of what a man can do to divorce his wife. I've even been with church by preachers who say they believe this message when I said if she's content to live with him, even if she is a wicked, insulting person, he is stuck with her. They say, well, I don't quite see it that way, because Brother Branham didn't say so-and-so-and-so-and-so. The Word of God said so-and-so. And I never saw William Branham ever turn against the commandment of God yet. You stay with her. See, now, if he wants to leave you, let her go. Then can I remarry? I didn't say that. The Bible says this thing. It has been stated the bride will have thus said the Lord. Would this mean to the prophet again? No, that's in the bride. He's not the whole bride. Or if not, would God have to speak face to face with the bride? No, Brother Branham said, they have the Word, and they know what to do with the Word, and that is thus saith the Lord. See, they have the Word, become with it, in order to approach unto Him, in order to be united with Him, then they've got thus saith the Lord. In other words, it's like natural, normal breathing, as far as I'm concerned. Now they might say, thus saith the Lord. I don't know, I'm not saying they will or they won't. To me, I'm content to believe this, that we have thus. That's the Lord. Because we have the Word and know what to do with it. And the Word is thus, saith the Lord. And the Word comes to pass, so that is thus, saith the Lord. See, regardless whether it comes by vision, it comes by a voice, or anything else, it'll be there. You won't need to worry. You'll speak the Word. Like Brother Brown said, and like you said, three squirrels. Now, where do you want the next one? So he got the next one, he's very happy, that'll do. He said, oh, that's fine, Lord, that's fine. He said, but you said three. Now where's the third? Now God said, that's it. Now did Brother Man say, thus saith the Lord? No, but that was thus saith the Lord. So you see, I can't explain it yet, as though I've got the answers that I don't know. I'm just trying to go around this thing and show you this. Don't get excited and don't get a lot of ideas. If you're Brian, and I'm Brian, and I'm using the Word is in the sense of since we are, right? Then it'll be there. And we'll be there, and it'll be there, and if we're there, then it's not going to be together. Right? So that takes care of it. Follow me? The reason I keep this way is because, look, there's too much in my estimation going around where people are getting excited unduly. See? Please get scripture where God spoke or said he would teach through more than one at one time. Well, I don't quite know what you mean there, but if you mean that God would have more than one person say the same thing like a prophet, then this would be redundancy on the part of God. But let's face it, there could be a meeting, a call on the side where gifts are operating, where there would be two people say the same thing unknown to each other. In other words, one might come forth in a prophecy, or tomorrow such a thing is going to happen, and then lo and behold, that might have been actually under the prophecy. And later on, someone speaks in tongues, and the tongues not interpreted, but understood. Literally understood, like it was in Brother Brown's meeting out in California, maybe in French, or German, or Dutch or something, see? Now here in tongues, though understood by one person, the very same message could come forth. The very thing is going to happen tomorrow. And then, lo and behold, a third person said, say, the interpretation is the same as the prophecy. And that third person says, well, I'm French. And I'm going to tell you that French because I understood it. Now, if you mean that, that's how it could be. But I don't believe for 1 minute that there's any such thing as two people saying the same thing. Now, maybe you mean this. Is it possible for someone to know a certain doctrine before Brother Brown spoke it? Sure. Sure, he could correct the error. Well, if there's no error to be corrected, then there's no correction to anything. Right? Sure. Let's just pretend that there's a 7-year tribulation. There's not, it's 3.5. But let's pretend there was, right? Let's just pretend. Now, this is on tape so everybody understands it. It's only 3.5. But let's pretend it's 7. Now, why? Because everybody but us believes it's 7. So let's pretend it's 7. Well, there's no correction there, is there? Nothing to correct. So it's already been said. Not only one person said it, 100 said it. But the 100 we know said it wrong. That's got to be corrected. There's not 7, there's 3.5. Right? So that's what I mean. Now, there's something else about it. What about it? Brother Brown said, Christ is our righteousness. Now, that's been said by a million people. All through the ages. That doesn't mean correction. 100 could say that. 1,000 could say it. Perfectly good. When it comes to correction, when it comes to that word, thus saith the Lord, one. Anybody else? See, now, I don't know all what the person had in mind, but I'm trying to say this in many ways as I can. Pardon me, you folks, that I missed your question. I lost the big piece. I got this here now. I've got that one there. No, I guess I got them all. I think I got pretty well all. No, I don't think I'm missing. I think I've got it covered. Now, if I didn't get the question covered, there's no doubt of purpose in it. All things work together for good. And remember, I'm not speaking here thus saith the Lord. I only spoke in the capacity wherein I knew what Brother Branham said about a certain thing. Then I was able to tell you exactly what he said because I knew what he said. Other cases, I had to relate the best I could. Now, there's just one thing I missed here, and I don't know. I'm going to take a look at it and see if I know the answer. Then I'll talk about it. If I don't, I can't help you. All right? In Romans, the 7th chapter, verses 15 and 23, you'll find in here that Brother Branham explained this in back again to the very thing we talked about on the law of faith. Now, if you are a real believer in Jesus Christ, one of the elect, you will never ever have any war with the Word of God. You believe it, you receive it, and you absolutely stand with it. But in the sense of the fact that we are in here, like a wheat seed planted in a cockle burr. Now, supposing the wheat seed was planted in a cockle burr, then the wheat seed will still come forth and bear the plant it's supposed to use, though it's in the cockle burr. Now, we've got the Spirit of God with us, who has taught us the Word of the Lord and how to act on faith. And we have in us a spirit of 3 more agencies where we can say yes or no. And here is where the battle starts up. You're warring in yourself. The Word of God says so. Will I believe it and walk on it and stand on it? And brother, sister, this is where I see, and this is part of Brother Brown's explanation, those who get into further detail, I forget just which message now, which what it is, that you will have that problem. Like even today, well, I'm awfully tired. Oh, am I weary? The Spirit of God says, go to church, rejoice in Lord, and have your fellowship there. Oh, you're dead done. See? There's a war, so it's going on. Who's going to win out? See, well, we put the Spirit of God first in our lives, we go ahead. See, remember that Paul the Apostle said in Romans 8, the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. Brother, sister, I don't care how godly anybody is, he's still going to die, proving he's a sinner. But there's coming a day when a little group won't die, Because why? They are absolutely identified in perfection with Jesus Christ. Another question I pray, I don't know where that was. I bought that slip of paper last night. And he said, what do you do with the book of 1 Corinthians, where it says, when that which is perfect comes? What is it? Brother Branham said, that which is perfect is gone. What is it? The descended word has come. Now, we have all the answers. We have the truth. You don't go to your gifts anymore, brother, sister. You go right to that word. And if God will speak amongst us, if God will do something amongst us, it will be because of the word of Almighty God. It will not be anything else. The Urim and Thummim is with us once more. The word of God absolutely is. Brother Brown said it. That which is perfect has come. See, we don't need to worry anymore. Stand fast on that word. And then don't throw away anything God's given us. No, sir, don't throw it away. Stay with what God gives us. If God has given us something precious, and you can use it for the glory of God as a separate ministry, a private ministry, as Brother Brown called us, as an adjunct to the pastor and to those in the church that are trying to lead you, and then God, as Brother Brown said, you go ahead and put it in a separate building. Write it down. Bring it on the pulpit. Bring it out. See? I have never yet given up the thought, given up on this thought, that we are to see from any faith in Christ to see God move amongst his people. No, sir. No, sir. I believe that as a minister of God, that God speaks to me. I know he does. And I say this not as a minister, but as a child of God. God has spoken to me, and I have received clear, cut answers. And I believe God can speak to you. I believe God can lead you and guide and direct you. Whether you have a special meeting or not, whether you have gifts offering. I won't argue that point. I leave that with the pastor. They may do what they want. Not being a pastor, I've got nothing to put in order that way. But brother, sister, I would never take away anything from you that God's given you, whereby he helps and leads you, as long as you stay with that word. And everything you tell you is based upon that word, see? Absolutely. I talked to them the other day about dreams. People having dreams. If that dream is absolutely not coming to pass the way you thought, don't you do anything but write that dream down, put in an envelope and seal it. Maybe give it to somebody and say, I'll tell you it over there. See? But what do people do? They run and tell somebody else. And then they start thinking what it means. And then, of course, if they've got somebody they don't like, or somebody they think they have a little thing against, or they think you're off the word, then right away, oh, they're just too happy to pin it on that person. And pretty soon you slandered somebody and just about crucified them with a dream you don't even know one thing about. You nail it. Just like your tongue's interpretation on the floor, you put it where the prophet said to put it, or you're in violation of the word of Almighty God, and you're going to pay a price for it. If your bride, God will put the pants off, you can get your money. And if you keep on doing and God doesn't touch you, better say, oh God, it looks like I'm not bride. Be with me, Jesus. Put your hand upon me, heaven. Get me in line, oh God. Remember, the prophet speaks, watch yourself for getting set on land. See? You follow me in? We're not trying to deny anybody anything to you. God spoke to me. Well, look, if we're looking for people, for God to raise up people to take this message out, how are they going to do it? By God speaking, right? God speaks to people. God heals the people, see? All right, that's good. Our time's gone. The Lord bless you. I'm only sorry about one thing. Oftentimes you're getting more confusion than when you end and when you start, but I hope not. I hope not. I don't think so. I did my best to explain it carefully. And as I say what I knew, I told you absolutely flat from the prophet, and I told you those points I had to say watchful on, see? And if I couldn't help you there, I'm sorry. Shall we rise and be dismissed? Do you have a third afternoon?
3:30.
Oh, 3:30. Both wonderful. That's good. All right. And by the way, there's some brethren wanted to see me. There's brother Lassard wanted to see me, and a brother King wanted to see me, and brother Shirt wanted to see me, and a brother Scotty Trader Close, and brother Rosinski. Now, look, I'm going to stay a while here, and if you want to spend a few minutes each with me, I'm glad to see you if you need to see me. And I guess that's the only names I'm mentioning outside of brother Henry, because they were the ones that spoke to me. And time is gone now. With the last service tomorrow morning. So I'm always happy to see people and help them all I can, and I'll be glad to see these brethren whatever time we can get together this afternoon now. Heavenly Father, we're going on our way now, and we believe, Lord, you've been with us to help us in these answers. And we know, Lord, many might not be identifying perhaps as we'd like them to be, oh God, but we know that people were troubled about them or they wouldn't have asked the question. Yeah. And I pray, Lord, nobody was offended the way they're answered. This is some very personal, Lord. But my God, as I realize it, if I in my own life had these certain things, what would I think of myself? Surely I know, Lord, there is absolutely no excuse for some, there is excuse for others.
And then, Lord, if there are two things in people's lives that are so strong that we know that there's a devil doing it, then, Lord, you said, in my name, cast out devil. And you said it, oh God, you're true. And, Lord, we know that there's absolutely no reason for any one of us to be void or to laugh in the things of God. You said if these things are not threatened, they're wretched and blind and everything else. Lord God, that we know we're without excuse this morning. And Lord, we do not that we lack compassion. We don't. We're ready and able, Lord, to do what we want. And if there be a brother or sister here, Lord Jesus Christ, that feels they're absolutely bound, then my Lord and my God, if they'll take that step of faith this morning, and we know to come in faith believing, that they'll lay this thing on the altar, they want it, that the devil that is cast out of an old God, and they're willing to pay whatever price is necessary, and then Lord, we know that if hands are laid upon them or not, and that thing that's charged them out, Lord, if they've answered on Bible grounds, it's got to come. And that's the end of it. Let them know that, Lord. Because we know there's one day we're going to stand before you, and we're not going to have any excuse. So therefore, Lord God, we know on the very grounds of your statement, you've made an ample and overabundant provision for every single need, from the gates of hell to the highest pinnacle of the throne. It'll take us from the jaws of death and put us in the throne with him. Now, Lord, if that doesn't signify all power on heaven and heaven and earth, I don't know what you meant, but I believe, and I believe that power is here this morning. Oh God, let people know that. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for the glory of God. Amen. Keep your head bowed this morning. I simply can't dismiss this meeting after talking the way I've talked and prayed the way I prayed. I feel great concern for anybody here who might have something with his problem, his home life, his business life, or anything else. Where you are absolutely driven, where you have come to the brink where you say, I don't want to do it, I hate myself doing it, and I'm doing it. But I'm going to come this morning, and I want you to pray, the brethren to pray, and in the name of Jesus Christ, take authority over that thing, because I am laying everything on the altar. If there's anything in my life I feel that's brought it on, I'm going to make restoration, but we're going to lift this thing this morning. Now, I'm not talking to everybody, it's a little problem. I'm not talking to you that worry and this and that. I'm talking to you that are doing things that you know you should not do. And yet you can't help doing them. You're driven. But I'm making it very, very, I don't want anybody in. You've got to be driven. And you know you're fighting it, but you're still driven. You're the one I'm talking to, man or woman. Now listen. There's something wrong. So we've got a God this morning who will do it. Break that power. Now that's just elementary A, B, C. There's nothing else I can say. Are you here this morning? You're that person. And don't be ashamed. Because remember, you are sick. Not physically in the sense that you have a cancer or something, but you are ill spiritually. The great physician now is here. The sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the truth in heart to hear. Oh, hear the name of Jesus. No one's criticizing you. No one's against you. We're for you. That you got that need this morning where you're driven, and you say, Brother Dale, I've got to have help. Now put your hand up so I can see you and come forward with bravery. All right? There's one, two, there's several. Just come on, line up in front. Don't be afraid. And brother, sister, I'm here to help you. The brethren here to help you. If you think you've got some reason driving you, let's not have it any longer. You're not your own master. Let's kill it. Now remember, you're the judge. It's not something you just feel like crying sometimes and that. I'm talking about something you get involved in, and you hate it. And you're tired of it. And you don't want any more.
All right, come on. Brother God, let's come down. Let's form our line right here. If you just come by us on this side and pass out that way, we'll pray for you. Just keep coming forward.